on those living in the land of deep darkness. A light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as warriors rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle, and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and the peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from the time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of God.
Thanks, Hamish. Hello, good evening. It's good to be with you. And it's my privilege to kick off our Advent series tonight. The word Advent means arrival or coming. And we all know that feeling of waiting for the arrival of a special event or a special person. It stirs up excitement in it, doesn't it? Hands up if your Christmas tree's already up. Still think we're in the minority. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I get so excited for putting up my tree and the decorations and the lights, especially this year. Last year, my family gave me a beautiful willow tree nativity set, I got it on the 25th of December, obviously, and then it went away in the box very soon after, so I couldn't wait to get it out and enjoy it. But Advent isn't about the excitement of the season, though. Advent points us to the greatest arrival of all, the coming of the promised Messiah, Jesus. Advent is about remembering our need for a Saviour who brings light into a dark world. Many of you would know that I volunteer for Horizons Family Law Clinic. It's a free legal advice clinic that supports families in crisis. One of the things that we're supporting this Christmas. Sorry, lost that word. In my role, I have the privilege of sitting with people who are in deep darkness. They're experiencing domestic violence, marriage breakdown, parenting disputes. And that brings with it times of fear, confusion, and deep despair. That type of darkness may not be something that you can relate to, but maybe you're experiencing a period of your own darkness at the moment. Maybe you're grieving the loss of a loved one. Maybe you're experiencing a chronic illness or a troubling situation at work or at school. Maybe you're worried about one of your friends or one of your children and you're struggling financially. Or maybe you're just feeling exhausted mentally and emotionally. Whatever darkness you're experiencing, Advent brings a message of hope for you. The prophet Isaiah lived 700 years before the birth of Jesus. In today's passage, he was speaking to God's people who were in darkness and despair, and they desperately needed a Saviour. And Isaiah was looking forward with hope to the arrival of that Saviour, the promised Messiah. He was anticipating the light that was coming into the world, the light that would overcome the darkness. He was anticipating the arrival of the Wonderful Counselor. And today we're going to look at the context of those voices, of verses that Hamish read out to us in Isaiah and how they're fulfilled in Jesus. And this Advent, we're going to focus on the four names that are given to Jesus in this passage, starting today with Wonderful Counselor. Then next week, Tim will look at Mighty God, and then we'll go on to look at Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. But before we dive in, will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing it is to gather as your people, to sing songs of praise and to hear from your word. Please speak through my words tonight and may your Holy Spirit reveal your truth to our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah 9, 1-7 was written during a time of deep despair for Israel. The people were facing God's judgment for their rebellious and disobedient hearts. They lived under the looming threat of invasion from Assyria, a violent empire that God used to discipline his unfaithful nation. At the end of chapter 8, Isaiah describes this period as one of gloom, anguish, and darkness. Yet in the middle of this bleak reality, God gives a message of hope through Isaiah. A light is coming that will end the darkness. Read with me from verse 1. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. That word, nevertheless, is another way of saying but. It's a word that signals a turning point. Isaiah was bringing news of a turning point in Israel's story. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those in distress. This verse is a message of hope, the hope that there would be an end to their gloom and darkness. And then if we continue reading in verse 1, in the past he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. This is a reference to the region where the Messiah would eventually come. And we know this Messiah is Jesus because we read the fulfillment of this prophecy in Matthew 4, which says, leaving Nazareth, he, that is Jesus, went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Matthew then goes on to quote Isaiah 9, land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. The message of hope that Isaiah is looking forward to is the person of Jesus. Jesus is the promised light who would take away the darkness. And Jesus identified himself as the light in John 8, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Isaiah is prophesying that Israel's story will not end with gloom, anguish, and darkness. Eventually, the darkness will lift. The anguish of God's people will disappear when the Lord keeps his promises and returns to save his people. And this is a message of hope for you and for me as well. Jesus is the light of the world. If we follow him, we will no longer walk in darkness, but will have the light of life, the hope of eternal life with him. Have you ever felt like you're walking around in the darkness? I remember the moment I first realised the truth of the good news, that Jesus saw me in all my brokenness, and yet he still loved me. And in him, I was made whole. It was seriously like a light came on. Where I'd felt darkness in my heart, I now had this sense of hope and peace, a real lightness. Do you know Jesus as the light that overcomes darkness in your life? If you can't answer a confident yes to that question, we'd love to chat to you after the service or chat to your life group leader about how you can walk in the light that Jesus offers that brings hope. If we keep reading in Isaiah 9, verses 3 to 5, we see what this future hope looks like. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. In other words, Jesus' coming promises a future hope of the joy that comes at the time of gathering in the harvest. It's a time of feasting. The rejoicing that happens over a victory in battle. Jesus' coming promises a time when the burdens of life will be lifted and the rod of oppression will be done away with. Jesus' coming promises a time when there will be no need for weapons or garments of war, because he will bring an end to all wars. In this passage in Isaiah, God promises a future peace and freedom from darkness. And Jesus is the one who brings that peace and freedom. These are the promises that we remember as we celebrate Christmas. Because whilst we know Jesus has already dealt with our sin when he died on the cross and rose again, we still live in this world with the darkness of brokenness, sorrow, and pain. And so we are still looking forward with great anticipation for Jesus to return. And then we come to the climax of this passage in verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The answer to all the darkness and gloom was the birth of a child. Isaiah is offering hope to those who are walking in darkness that a day of deliverance is coming through the birth of a child, a son. But this was no ordinary child. This child is Jesus. And Isaiah tells us that he would hold the government on his shoulders. But what does that mean? Well, it means God has given all power in heaven and on earth to Jesus. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He rules and reigns over everything and everyone. This phrase indicates that responsibility, leadership, and ultimate sovereignty rests upon the shoulders of the Messiah. I read a commentary that said the use of the word government waters down the intensity of what the scripture is saying here. To our modern mindset, it's better translated, and dominion shall be upon his shoulders. Dominion conveys a sense of royalty, supremacy, never-changing authority and power, and the ability to accomplish whatever is needed with full and complete control. Full dominion is on the shoulders of Jesus. And Isaiah says, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Jesus' kingdom will be great and will bring peace. Jesus will rule with justice and righteousness because he is the perfect king. As we prepare to remember and celebrate the birth of Jesus, we can do so with the confident assurance that Jesus is more than enough. He has more than enough power and authority to take care of everything you need. For whatever may be happening in your life right now, King Jesus can carry all your burdens. So I encourage you to lean into him. Verse 6 also gives us a list of the names that this child Jesus would be called. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Names are a powerful thing. We put a lot of effort into naming our children, don't we? For those of us who are parents, we search baby books, family trees, even movie credits, trying to find that perfect combination of meaning, sound, and significance. But not everyone grows up loving their name. When I was a child in primary school, I hated my name. Nobody else had it. It was different, and so I felt different. While other kids had familiar names you'd see printed on lunch boxes and keychains, mine was nowhere to be found. It was uncommon and unusual. And then there's my middle name, Joy. It's a lovely word, really. It's bright and cheerful, full of life. But children can be cruel in their creativity, can't they? They'd find ways to poke fun at it. I remember wishing I could swap my name for something more ordinary, something less different. But of course, names grow on you, or maybe we grow into them. And as an adult, I discovered that my name has some multiple meanings, and some of them are quite cool. My favourites are Protector, Cheerful, but then there's Water Fairy. What's not to like about that? As I said earlier, over the next 4 weeks, we'll explore the names given to Jesus from this passage, and today we will focus on Wonderful Counselor. Today, often we use the word wonderful to mean something simply very good, had a wonderful holiday, or that was a wonderful meal. But wonderful here means so much more than very good. In its original sense, wonderful means something that fills us with awe, something amazing and inspiring. This is a fitting description of Jesus, don't you think? He is amazing, awe-inspiring, and truly good in every way. When Isaiah calls him wonderful, he's saying more than Jesus is a good person. It's not just a description, it's his very nature. Jesus is wonderful. He is truly wonderful in who he was before time began. He was with God in the beginning and part of God's creativity in the creation of the world. He is truly wonderful not only as creator of the world, but also as sustainer of the universe. He is truly wonderful in his miraculous birth, that he would give up his position in heaven to come down to earth in human form, to live and experience pain, sorrow, and the temptations that we face. That is truly amazing, truly wonderful. He is truly wonderful in his mighty miracles, not only the miracles he performed when he was here on earth, restoring sight to the blind, making the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the mute to speak, and raising the dead, but also the many miracles he's still performing in our lives today, transforming us to become more like him. He is truly wonderful in his unmatched authority. Even the wind and waves obey him. He is truly wonderful in his death and resurrection, his sacrificial love that led him to humble himself to death on a cross, and then conquering death when he rose again. And he did this so that you and I could come back into relationship with him. That is truly wonderful. He's truly wonderful in how he established his kingdom, the church, caring for and blessing his people throughout history. And he will be wonderful still in what is yet to come, when he returns to judge the living and the dead, to bring in the new kingdom, the new heaven and earth, where we will live with him forever. Jesus is more than just a good person. Jesus is wonderful. And not only wonderful, he is wonderful counselor. The Hebrew word for counselor means a person who gives advice. So counselor here means an advisor, someone who helps people navigate problems, make decisions, and work through challenges. Someone with expertise, wisdom, and insight. Another great description of Jesus. For me, one of the best descriptions of Jesus as counselor comes in John's Gospel. Some of Jesus's followers were turning away from him, and Jesus asked his 12 disciples if they wanted to leave as well. And Simon Peter responds with these words: "Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Peter understood something crucial. Jesus speaks the words that lead to eternal life. His words are truth. So why look for counsel anywhere else? Jesus himself says in the Gospels, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Jesus is saying his words are eternal. He speaks the truth, and what he says is trustworthy and will never let us down. There is wisdom and insight in the words of Jesus. They bring eternal life and last for eternity. In Romans chapter 11, Paul writes this: "Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?" The depths of Jesus' wisdom and understanding are beyond our comprehension. Jesus does not depend on human counselors or advisors, for he himself is the source of true and perfect wisdom. Jesus needs no advisor, for he himself is the wonderful counselor. But why do we need a wonderful counselor? Quite simply, because we are drowning in noise. Culture tells us who to be. The media tells us what matters. Social platforms shape our values. Even our own hearts pull us off course. Our thoughts aren't always trustworthy. Fear, worry, insecurity, and old habits can twist our thinking and lead us in the wrong direction. There's no shortage of advice, just a shortage of truth. Without a true counsellor, the loudest voice wins, and it's easy to be misled. Have you ever followed a trendy idea, something popular in culture, only to find out it was all hype and no substance? How many of us have fallen into the trap of clicking on links in our Instagram feed of the latest fad in diet or exercise that promise fast results for a healthier lifestyle? A couple of years ago, I was struggling with insomnia, and a beautiful friend of mine told me about a new discovery she'd made that would help me sleep. She said that if I put organic castor oil in my belly button when I went to bed, that I would sleep better. Crazy, right? But I was so desperate, I tried it. I went out, I bought an expensive bottle of castor oil, and I put it in my belly button. And of course, it didn't work. No surprises. The reality never ends up being what these things promise, does it? And we end up feeling frustrated and disappointed. And in my case, just a little bit silly. That's what following unwise counsel feels like. It's frustrating and disappointing. So we need a guide we can trust. I remember coming to the realization that my own thoughts at times were misleading me because they were being fueled by my worries or my fears. And then someone pointed me to this verse in 2 Corinthians, which says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." This taught me I need to use God's word to help me discern if my thoughts are true and trustworthy. I take hold of my thoughts and I test them against God's word. When I'm feeling led by my fears, I'm learning to go to the Bible and see if my thoughts hold up to the truth in God's word. So what does all this mean for us? Well, it means Jesus is exactly the counsellor we need. His words bring eternal life. His works prove he is the Son of God. His wisdom is limitless, and his truth never expires. This is the counsellor I want leading my steps, the one who needs no advice from anyone else because he is the wonderful counsellor. Only the voice of Jesus cuts through the chaos around us with clarity and truth. He leads us away from confusion, fear, and self-centeredness and into a life of peace and purpose. Jesus is the once-for-all King, the wonderful counsellor who leads us in his eternal kingdom of life and light. In a world marked by darkness, he declares, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So how can we learn to listen to his voice, to his wise counsel? Well, we establish regular habits of reading God's word. We follow the example of Jesus set during his time on earth. We let the letters to the early churches shape us with their wisdom and truth. We've seen in our James series how much wisdom it contains for our day-to-day lives. Following Jesus is far more than seeking advice when we're stuck. It's a life of apprenticeship, walking his way, shaped by his truth, transformed by his grace, and empowered by his spirit. Living by his counsel means speaking his truth over our lives and into the lives of others. It means carrying his light into the world, the light that overcomes the darkness. And it means choosing him as king every day. This Advent, don't settle for listening to the loudest voice in your life. Every voice around you, culture, fear, even your own heart, will eventually mislead you. Only one voice never fails. Only one voice brings life. Jesus is the wonderful counselor, the counselor that you need, the counselor that I need. Jesus is the king who rules with justice, and he is the light that drives out darkness. So as you step into this week and into the coming Advent season, choose whose voice you will follow, because you will follow someone. So let it be Jesus. His wisdom is perfect. His guidance is life. His counsel is the only path that leads out of darkness and into light. This Advent, don't just remember his arrival. Follow his voice. Trust his counsel. Walk in his light. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the light that overcomes the darkness in this world. Thank you, Jesus, that you are our wonderful counselor. As we go into our week, help us to quiet the noise around us and listen to your voice. Teach us to walk in your wisdom, trust your guidance, and rest in your unfailing love. Shine your light into every place of fear or confusion and lead us in your truth this week. May your hope fill our hearts, your peace steady our steps, and your presence guide us each day. In the name of Jesus, our wonderful counselor, we pray. Amen.